welcome to First State Insights, a podcast presented by the University of Delaware's Institute for Public Administration. We call ourselves IPA for short. My name is Julia O'Hanlon, and I'm a staff member with IPA. We're located in the Biden School of Public Policy and Administration. As part of a series on Insights on Aging, IPA has dedicated several conversations with local retirees willing to share their professional and personal journeys as public servants here in Delaware. On May 12, 2023, I spoke with Archie Campbell, mayor of the city of Milford. He shared with me his unique background, cultural perspectives, and how he landed here in Delaware. Enjoy the discussion. Archie Campbell with the city of Milford, Delaware. Mayor, thank you for joining me today. You usually go by Archie, is that correct? Not Arthur?
Only my mother calls me Arthur.
Okay. Well, I'll probably call you mayor if that's okay.
That's fine.
So just a little background for our audience. You and I have known each other for some time, primarily through the Delaware League of Local Governments, of which you're currently serving as the president. And as much as we've seen each other at meetings and things like that and other training sessions or events that IPA has been involved with, I realized we never really sat down and chatted with one another. And then at the last league meeting in April, I had the fortune of being next to you in the buffet line. And I know we sparked up just an informal conversation, and a couple of things came out that really intrigued me. And I thought, wow, Mayor Campbell has a really interesting background and some unique experience. So, you know, I'd love to chat with him more. So thanks for chatting with me this morning.
You're welcome.
So I can't remember exactly how this got brought up, but we were chatting a little bit about your time abroad. Maybe it was because we were having Italian food that night. I can't recall, but we were talking about your time abroad and a little bit about your professional life there. Would you be willing to share a little bit about that background, like where you traveled and lived over the years and what took you to those places?
Well, I started out when I finished college, and then I went to New York Institute of Finance. I'm kind of a financial guy, or a numbers guy, if you would say. Started working on Wall Street, actually the first person of color on the American Stock Exchange floor.
Oh.
So that was an experience, because also being the first person of color, it was kind of bad.
What year was that, Archie?
Now I got to tell you my age. I'm like,
that's okay. I should know better.
No, that's okay. I'll tell you, as long as you got to take out the time frame there. But it was in the 60s.
Yeah.
All right. So I remember the first time I walked out on the floor. We call it the floor. American Stock Exchange is the curb back then. I don't know what now it's like different. So all the name calling, yelling, you don't belong here, blah, blah, blah. Went through all of that for probably 3 to 6 months. And it was challenging, because everybody talks about how I sound like an Italian. I grew up in an Italian neighborhood. My father had a business. It was called Campbell and Amato Construction. So I stayed on Wall Street for 12 years. I almost had a heart attack, and I wasn't even 40.
Mm.
And so the doctor said, well, either you stay here and make a lot of money, or we bury you before you're 40.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a hard decision to leave the street, and I got a job working for L'Oreal Lancôme,
okay,
the cosmetic company. So worked my way up to be the executive director of logistics and labor relations. So I dealt with the Teamsters Union, the Longshoremen Union, yeah, and also with the Limousine Union for New York City. So with that, I had two plants in Northern Italy, a Bassano di Grappa is the name of the community. You have a Bassano North, a Bassano South, and they were our supplying chain. You being a woman, you know, when you have the lipstick, you have the little cartridge, and when you have a Latisse pencil, you know, some has a thin cartridge. So they were a chain supply.
Okay.
So I would charge you the two plants. And I don't want to sound like a bad guy, but Giuseppe and Vincenzo, one had Bassano North, one had Bassano South. And I don't know if you ever heard of Grappa wine,
mm-hmm,
which is the bottom of the barrel. So you drink that out of a shot glass. And Vincenzo and Giuseppe would get drunk. So the plant would kind of lose everything. Everybody would not party, but the production levels were not high. So the president of L'Oreal would say to me, you know, Archie, you got to go to Italy. So I would go to work in the morning and figure I had to go to Italy the next morning.
Wow.
But guess what? my secretary would have my tickets and I would leave there with the clothes on my back, no bags. And when I got to Italy, I would buy a couple of suits, shirts, ties, you know, underwear, the whole thing. And that went on for years.
Is that right?
That's where it all started, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's interesting. So how long were you doing? How long were you with L'Oreal?
15 years.
Okay. And then this is after being on Wall Street for how many?
12 years.
So 12 and then 15 with L'Oreal and then traveling like that.
Yes.
Wow.
And when we had a small plant in Cheshire, England, which I'd go to maybe twice a year. I would go there as much as I went to Paris. Paris was the headquarters. Personally, I don't like Paris, but I enjoyed Italy.
Was that your favorite place to travel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because, you know.
And your background, right?
Yeah, I grew up with all Italians. You know, we were like family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I learned to, you know, I spoke street Italian. And then from going to Italy, Northern Italy speaks perfect Italian. I don't know if people know that or not.
So you worked there for 15 years. And then, so how did you end up in Milford, Delaware? Because you said you're originally from Northern Jersey, correct?
Yes. Well, I got tired of all the travel. My kids were both very great athletes. My daughter was a track and field star. My son played varsity basketball. You know, my son's like 6'4". You know, a little side channel there. As you know, my wife is Polish. So my son is very, very fair, has green eyes like his mother. So when he was a baby, when we would go shopping and we would separate, I'd take my son with me because he was the firstborn. The store detectives would think I stole somebody's baby because he had blonde hair. So they'd stop me and say, sir, whose child is that? So what are you talking about? That's my son. And I don't know, really, whose child is that? I say, no, that's my son. Wow. So I would page my wife to meet us at the customer service counter. And then she'd come up and they'd look at her and they'd look at me and I go, it's a miracle. And I thought, get out of here, take a walk. So that was kind of a sideline of how funny things were. But things were kind of also tough back then when we got married and all.
Yeah.
But I got tired of the traveling. I met a guy at a conference who was from Johnson & Johnson in New Jersey. So he said, listen, why don't you fill out a resume and, you know, come work for J&J? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. So he convinced me. And I used to teach martial arts because I studied judo, jiu-jitsu, and aikido.
Okay.
So, and I had my own dojo or my own school. So he would come and I would teach him and his son, you know, but we had a regular school. So I applied for Johnson & Johnson. I got hired by the baby products company. And again, logistics. So I had five plants and also labor relations, but they only dealt with the Teamsters, of which I had major problems with. But that's, you know, I represent the corporation versus the union. So that was kind of hectic. And so I did that for 10, 12 years, I think, and then decided that's it for me. I had enough. You know, I always say the good Lord blessed me, did well financially. So I said, yeah, time to go. So I had, we were having a house built in Towanda, Virginia, and my daughter gave birth to my only grandson. I had three granddaughters. And I said to my wife, ew, I'm not driving 7 hours to see my grandson. So I have a cousin who worked in Manhattan and the bank transferred to Delaware and they transferred with it. So I talked to him. She said, we had to look at Delaware. So I looked at all the financial attributes which Delaware has. I said, oh, okay. And it's funny because I was told, do not go past Dover. Because if you go past Dover, you're in Redneck City. I said, it's all right. You know, that doesn't bother me.
You know, I grew up downstate. You knew that, right?
Pardon me?
You knew I grew up in Sussex.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
You were Sussex County?
I am. I grew up in Millsboro. And I had a lot of family had roots in Millsboro, Georgetown, but also like dairy farmers, Milton, Lewis area family. And then most of my family's near the coast now, but I still have a lot of roots in Millsboro, Georgetown area. But then when I went to UD, I never really went back. But I'm there a lot because of family. So they said, don't go past Dover and you end up in Milford.
Well, because my cousin said, don't go past Dover because of my color. So we were going around and my real estate guy, we were still living in Jersey. And you're going to think I'm crazy. We were leaving Milton. My wife didn't like Milton. And she said, so my real estate person said, I'll buy you an ice cream. And he owns the Rita's in Milford. So we're coming up Route 1 and I'm like, where the heck are we going? You know, I'm coming from Milton. I'm like, And all I see are these open fields and all, like, am I going to the backwoods here or what? You know. So as we got into Milford, and people, my wife says, never, don't tell too many people that. Something came over me. And I said, what's this town? He said, it's Milford. So I went to the Chronicle and the Beacon, which were the two newspapers in town. And I asked him to send them to me in Jersey. And so for about 10 months, we got the paper, you know, it comes out twice a week. And they used to have a column, us and them. Us were the people that lived here and them were the people moving in.
Ah.
So we used to get a kick out of the stories we'd read in there about the us and them. So I said to my wife, I said, come on, Mom, let's take a ride down. We'll go see Milford. You know, we went there. We were there for like maybe an hour. And so read the paper, came down, got my real estate buddy, and we wind up buying a home here in the Meadows at Shawnee. And it was very interesting because people just, you know, we were all from a different part of the country. So we were all like close because we weren't from here. And after I retired from J&J, I worked for a law firm.
Okay.
Baruth and Baruth. And I did their collections. So I worked for them when I was, you know, not even quite a year before we moved to Milford. And I play golf. So I wanted to join a country club. And I tell you, when I walked in there, you could hear a pin drop. I'm like, yo, what the heck is this?
And this is in 2006. Six.
So they said, well, there's a waiting list. I said, okay, that, you know, I can understand that. Because we had belonged to a golf course in Jersey, like a country club. So, which was, you know, kind of exquisite, kind of nice, you know. And so to me, I go into the Shawnee, it's got a smell to it. You know, I'm looking around, I'm like, oh my God, this is a country club. So I meet this guy who has a business in Milford, and I meet him playing golf. And I said, geez, you know, I said, I got a golf course right across from me almost. And they tell me there's a waiting list. And he tells me he's a member of the golf course. So he looks me in the face. He says, Arch, do you really think there's a waiting list? I said, what are you talking about? He says, there's no waiting list. I said, you got to be kidding. He goes, no, I'm serious. So I go back again. And I said, I understand there's no waiting list. He said, oh, no, you were misinformed, Mr. Campbell. You know, to give me all that blah, blah, blah stuff. So I take the lawyers that I work for. I have their business cards. I find out when they're having a board meeting. I walk into the building. Of course, you can hear the pin drop again. I said, is there a board meeting? And they said, yes. I said, they sit down the hallway. So I go down, I walk in the board meeting. Everybody's like shocked that I'm standing. So I go to each person and I put the law firm down. I give them the business cards. And then I said to them, you know, I found out there is no waiting list. So I'm going to tell you now, if I don't hear from you by next Friday that I'm accepted in this place so I can play golf here, I will have this law firm sue you because I know it's racial prejudice. So I left Thursday the following week, not Friday. Mr. Campbell, we have an opening. I said, oh, it's amazing. But I was the only one there for quite a few years. And I became the chairman of the membership committee.
So you've seen a lot of changes in Milford. Is that what sort of drew you to get involved in local government? What sparked your interest in getting involved with the local government?
Well, Ronnie Rogers was the mayor for 30 years. In Milford. Dan Marabella, who lives in my development or our development, beat him out by about 8 votes. And Dan won because the people that moved in all pushed for Dan. So everybody went crazy. And see, when I had facilities in the USA, if we were going to like add an addition to the building or we wanted to put a different kind of sign up, you'd have to go to the planning and zoning board in that community. So I had like plants in California, Texas, Chicago, and Jersey. So I said, all right. So Dan asked me to be planning and zoning for Milford. He said, you did it for the companies you work for. Why can't you do it for Milford? I said, fine, no problem. And but out of 101 employees, there was one person of color.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is definitely not right. But again, I'm planning and zoning. I was on for 8 years, chairman for 3. Someone whispered in my ear, you should run for councilman for the first ward. I'm like, what are you, nuts? He's like, yeah. So I go up and I run city council for ward 1. I win by 82% of the vote. So everybody was kind of like in shock. So I served on council. And, you know, I swam, primary school, high school, college. So I used to help out at the Boys and Girls Club. They asked me to be aquatic director there. So I founded the Milford Marlins, which is the Milford Boys and Girls Club swim team.
Okay.
So the Milford Marlins, I started it. And I don't know, we had about 60, 70 kids and just worked out fine. So, and I met all the parents and of course, all the people, of course, were the people, most of them that moved here. So, I mean, my taxes before I moved here were $18,800. So I think that should help me with all the kids and swimming and all that stuff. And then somebody whispered in my ear, you should run for mayor. I said, are you kidding me? So I met this guy, Dwayne, who is black, dreadlocks, the whole thing. And then I had Costanza, who's a nice, good Italian girl that I know. So they were my management people for my voting, the campaign directors. I win by 65% of the vote. So it was very, very interesting. And then, because I went to school to be a history teacher. I'm a history buff. So,
this is before you got into finance?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah, so you didn't even go to school for like to do finance. You just got into
oh,
it.
No.
Oh,
I went
that's,
to
school
to be a social studies and science teacher.
Mm.
So Milford said to me, please, you know, I was at a meeting and the superintendent of school said to me, geez, I guess I don't know if you know Bob Smith. He was the old superintendent of schools.
I know the name.
Yeah. So Bob says to me, Arch, you know, you ever think about teaching? I said, I went to school to be a teacher. What are you talking about? So he goes, oh, yeah. So, and I just met him because I didn't know who he was. And he's staring at me. And I'm like, I'm very direct. I don't know if you know that. I don't take a lot of gum. I am very.
I've picked up on that, Mayor.
Yeah, you're right. So this is during my interview, staring at me. So I'm like, yo, I got to ask you a question. He goes, what? I said, did you ever interview anybody of color? He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, I noticed there's not a lot of people of color in the school system. So what's the story? He said, well, I'm looking at you and you sound like you're one of those Italians. I said, yo, it's not Italian, it's an Italian. What are you talking about? So he hires me. So I'm a substitute for 7 years, 4 to 5 days a week.
In Milford School District.
Yep. Middle school, I started, and then the high school. And then I coached the high school swim team because a lot of my kids that were Milford Marlins went to the high school. So they asked me to be the swim coach. So I coached for 3 years, I think it was.
That's cool.
So, you know, and then I got to meet all the kids and all their parents. And, you know, I would open up my class with a different language. So I'd speak either Polish, I'd speak Hebrew, Spanish, or Italian. And they'd have to guess what language it was.
Mm.
So, and that's how it all started. And you know, it was like, they're still my kids.
Yeah. I bet you they like loved having a substitute for different reasons though, just because you were probably fun and different than.
Oh yeah. But I was strict.
I'm sure.
And
but they probably respected you too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the bad kids I got along with, I call them my whiz kids I got along with. And even today, I still call them. They call me up. They come see me in school. In fact, they come see me at City Hall. One time, I guess the honors class had to do a project. So they said, we're going to go see Mr. Campbell. So they go charging into City Hall and scream, Mr. Campbell, where are you? And
really
I'm like, and so the city clerk goes, oh, his office is down the hall there. Oh, my God. They were like, ah. So it was great. And even today, it's great, you know.
That's
some of
really
them are married with kids, you know, and I was a crazy teacher.
Yeah. Has a lot of folks stayed around or moved out of town that you like taught or
oh, no.
Coached?
A lot still around, you know, I see them. They'll text me. I'm on Facebook sometimes. They'll, you know, send me pictures of the babies and stuff.
That's great.
So it's really, really nice. I mean, I get emotional with my kids.
Aww.
As hard as I can get, my kids. Anything in Milford that has to do with kids, they know the mayor's going to be there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I just did last Sunday 4 Eagle Scouts. So that was like from 11 o'clock to like 4. I give them their awards. I give them an award from the city. So, you know.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. And the interesting thing of it is when I first became the mayor, we had one person of color. Now we got the director of personnel is of color. We have Parks and Rec, I think, is probably 4 or 5, meaning Black and Hispanic. And City Hall, we have assistant city clerk is black. Parks and Rec, there's probably about six or seven. So, you know, the good old boys that were there would say, well, you know, what do you expect? You know, we got a black mayor. So we got all these people of color now. And that's all settled out. I mean, everybody gets along now. And that's my goal. Even when I do speeches, I want it to be one Milford, not black, white, Hispanic, Haitian. No, that my goal is to make everybody from Milford, Milford. It's not like, oh, you're from another state, you know.
Right, right.
Go home. You don't belong.
Milford's become, I mean, it's got a unique history, like you mentioned, but it's become very vibrant and a very cool place to stop. You know, like when you're heading anywhere, or, you know, at the Riverwalk and restaurants. And we were down there quite a bit last year because my son played in the state junior level Little League championship down there. Milford was the host, the Little League. So we were down there quite a bit and spent time.
It's changed a whole lot.
It has
changed. I mean, I came here, we had 5,800 people. We're now at 13,000.
Wow. Well, sometimes people, I think, forget like Milford is split county-wise.
Oh, yeah, Kent and Sussex.
Yeah.
Well, that was another thing when I first became the mayor and I had to go down to the SCAP meeting. I'm like, after you hear about Sussex County, I'm like, whoa. But you know what? They were all great.
That's fantastic.
They welcomed me in like you wouldn't believe.
So do you think not forecasting too much, but do you feel like you're going to stay in Milford for a while? Do you think it's a good place to age and retire?
I did. I retired here. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, you say that, but you're really busy, Mayor.
I'm very, very busy. I am.
You're not living the life of a retiree, like
no,
in a traditional sense.
That's true. Not at all. That's just me, though.
Mm-hmm. But. Know? And what are your ideals for like aging in place? That's something, you know, I'm particularly interested in terms of our communities and the way we're designing them and how we're thinking about supporting people as they continue to migrate in Delaware. Do you think that we're well equipped to age in place?
Yes, I would say 25%, 30% people in Milford are retirees.
Seems like you're doing something right and the city's doing some really great things. And I really appreciate your service to Delaware and I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. They say the first black mayor of Milford. My mother is from North Hollywood Seminole Reservation.
Oh, really?
My father is from the Katwa Reservation in Chiro, South Carolina.
And
my grandmother was black. So I am 75% Native American, 25% black. So, you know, and I've been going to powwows and all since I was a little kid and raised by my mother's side of the family. So up until I was 15, I was raised with Native Americans.
Have you ever been to one of the Nanticoke powwows?
Once. Yeah. I met the chief once. But I don't really have that kind of time.
It doesn't sound like it.
And then actually I met, they actually do a performance on Juneteenth. So I met them in Georgetown.
Cool.
So, and I'm very big with the Latino community because that's why I speak Spanish since I was 12 years old. I worked in a bodega in Jersey. And and people wonder, because I don't know if you know Milford Wellness Center, the old hospital.
Oh, yeah. I certainly appreciate your cultural diversity. All right. Well, I'm going to thank you for being with us and I appreciate it. And I'll definitely look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay.
To learn more about IPA, please visit our website at ipa.udel.edu. And remember to check out more of our upcoming episodes related to retiring and aging in place in the first state.